You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don't lose a no-no. You got to love her. Need her.
Yo, what up? It's the Victor Cruz Show with my guy PR, who always crashes the show. I don't even know how he gets the address. He changed venues a couple times.
Our show.
And he still gets the address.
Our show.
I don't know how he's doing this.
Our show.
Feel free. Obviously, this is all powered by Uninterrupted P. That's family.
Of course.
Subscribe and rate us 5 stars. I mean, I guess if rate me 5 stars, I don't know if PR gets 5 stars.
Well, if they ain't 6, if they can't do 6, then do 5.
Okay, got it. And then Apple Podcasts and wherever else you find podcasts, we on it, B. So let's get it popping.
I'm excited today.
See, the best
right
part
now,
about
man.
This show, but the best part about this being my show, PR.
Our show.
Because it says it on the banner, the Victor Cruz Show, that I can have family up here. My family, mm-hmm. guys, people that I've known pretty much all my life. And today we have none other than my boy, J.R. Smith.
Swish.
My brother, what's good? Team Swish.
Swish,
IG.
What's good?
What's happening?
Welcome,
what's
Swish.
I got
to tell you, when I found out that Swish was going to be our guest on the show, and I was super excited about it, I was excited for most of the reasons you mentioned, right? Family, you know, peoples. We have these conversations even if we're not in the studio, right? We always kicking it. But I was maybe even more excited about having 3 elite professional athletes in the studio all at once.
I'm just looking for the third.
No, you looking at it.
No.
No, you're looking at
Yo,
it.
Yo, Swish, I go through what? This every episode.
Three elite athletes, professional athletes at that.
Ask him to show you a piece of footage from when he played. Haven't seen it yet.
What are we talking about? Are we talking about basketball?
Yeah, I mean,
football,
you know what, Swish?
Anything.
I'm happy you mentioned that because we can take our pick.
Oh, God.
You know,
really?
But basketball, some compare my game to CP3. Some compare my game to you athletically, actually, as fate would have it. I don't want to make this show about me because you're the guest.
I'm not doing this.
Yeah,
man.
I don't want to make this
can
about
we
me.
Get
you're
into
the
our
guest.
Show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we get into our guest?
Let's do it.
Swish. Thank you for coming through today. Obviously, we know you're in the heart of the season, towards the tail end, getting ready for the playoffs. Just talk to us about how your season's been going, how you feeling, how's the year been. I know it was, you know, a little bit of a roller coaster in the beginning, but now you seem to found your niche.
Hold up. I'm going
to
cut you off, Switch. We're not going
to
do that.
Talk to me.
We're not going to act like you guys haven't grown up together, know each other. I want to.
Okay.
Let's start there.
Okay, that's
Jersey,
where we want to start.
Yes,
okay.
Let's start there.
Let's do it.
When did you guys first meet?
We met, Switch, when did we meet? It's been so long.
What? How old are you? What?
14,
grade?
14, 15,
something like that. AU 14, trip.
15 years old, you two?
Mm-hmm. And I know where we met. We met at the McDonald's parking lot.
Of course you did.
Patterson.
So Jim, shout out to Jim. We love you. That's my godfather's family. Jim would always, that was like the meeting ground. Like that was where everybody met.
McDonald's and Patterson.
Everybody know the McDonald's on Broadway.
Okay.
So we would go, but there were guys like Wayne Elling, there were like guys that would be
right.
there that all you
players.
Didn't know would be guys until later.
Okay,
but
yep.
think about all these guys pulling up to
Wayne
McDonald's
Ellington,
on Broadway.
Gerald Henderson, Earl Clark, Kyle Anderson.
Wow.
Just it was
to
crazy.
Name a few. Like
that's,
it was
that's,
it was crazy.
Light.
So we met, I think hopped in a van and drove to the airport and we just kicked it the whole time. Obviously, then we started to get to know each other more as more and more trips got on. We went to Vegas a bunch of times and played ball and we just kicked and became friends, man, and it was just when you meet someone as like-minded as you are and has, you know, goes through the same things as you do, at, you know, growing up, knows where you're from in Jersey, knows, you know, how you growing up and things like that, like, you just hit it off immediately, and we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, I think the turning point for, you know, I mean, you obviously don't know who's going to be in your life for a certain amount of time and stuff like that, but when he and I built a bond. I remember to this day we were riding in a 17-passenger van. We were going up to Rhode Island or something. And this one dude on our team, he had left our team to go play with somebody else.
Okay.
And everybody else was like, yeah, cool, man. He want to come back, whatever. But I could see looking across from me, Ben Vixen on a tire, sure enough in the back, like, nah, man, I ain't with that. We looking at each other like, yo, I'm not with that. Like, you just not going to bounce around from team to team.
Yeah.
And then when you need us, we going to put you on this platform. Yeah, right? You can just come back.
And
like,
this
nah.
is at 15, 16. You guys are thinking like this.
Yeah. Right?
Because even then, we knew that players basketball was different than any other AAU program. I mean, obviously, there's other programs that are respected. But this players thing was like, it was just different. And once you signed on to be a part of this, because, mind you, there's tryouts for this thing. This ain't no... just like come pull up and play. There's like a system that you go through. 100%. And once you make that team, once you are part of that cloth and that culture and you get your players jacket.
You get that jacket,
that's how you know it's
you
real.
You get that jacket. You can show up anywhere in Jersey or New York, Philly. And they see that jacket, be like, oh, he's official. They know what's up. They bout that.
Well, by the way, Jim about to let me design the next ones too, so it's a wrap.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, it's a wrap.
So let me ask y'all this. You know, if I'm hearing y'all correctly, it seems like even that 14, 15 – you know, like the sense of like family, loyalty, team, brotherhood. Like that started at players for you guys. Like that really
100%. 100%. And it was guys like Jim and Rome and
Coach
Coach Kyle, which is Kyle Anderson's pops, was one of the coaches obviously growing up. Unk, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Unk was like, he was like the OG. Like he carried you couldn't see the players without Unk.
For sure.
Unk was this super OG.
I love it.
That was just like knew about basketball, coached basketball his whole life. But then once players came around, that was like his relaxed zone where he just go to the games and just enjoy them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just and if you hollered at him, he'll give you some knowledge. Like he'll talk to you 100%. About what he sees because he's always watching. But other than that, he's just chilling, cracking jokes, having a blast. Like, but he'll kick that knowledge to you whenever he sees you need it. You know what I'm saying?
And it was and for one thing about him, it was always about us. We walk in the gym and somebody else is playing. He not watching that. He talking to us or something like that. Yo, we going to watch such and such. Man, I don't come here to watch nobody else.
Yeah,
man, I come here to watch us.
Yeah, that's it.
And that was that. And from there, I think the loyalty like really balled up within him. And then everybody else just fell in line.
Exactly.
That's dope. Let me ask. So everyone knows the host of the show, Victor Cruz, Super Bowl champion, Pro Bowler. You let him tell it, accomplished author, model.
New York Times bestseller.
Yeah, I deal with this shit
to go to your
all
nearest
day.
Barnes and Nobles.
This is my fault.
We still have them. They may be on the clearance rack, but they're still there. They're still there.
Let me ask you, Swish, Victor Cruz, the basketball player.
Mm. Yeah.
What was his game like? What you think back then?
Vic was a problem. Like what people failed to
I'm
realize,
never gonna live this day.
he was a problem.
Damn
he
it.
Really was, because it's very hard to find the talent at that age and know their role. Like Vic wasn't out there trying to be the superstar.
You
he knew what
too.
It was.
He said, "I played hard. I knew my role.
Right? He played his role. He locked up. He hit his corner jumpers and."
Facts.
When it was time to come in and out, he came in and out.
Facts.
But
Facts.
For the most part, he did what he was supposed to do, and that's extremely hard to find, especially in nowadays.
At
when
that
everybody,
level too.
Yeah, and everybody's sitting there telling you, "Oh, you're great. This, you're great at that. You do this, you do that." That's hard to for kids. That's hard to grasp, and everybody already knew he was going football. Anyway,
yeah, everybody,
so
knew,
everybody knew that
from a young age.
From a young age,
he was a football player.
Sure, you talk about people knowing their roles. I would argue, and I'm not asking you this, which I would argue, there's people in the pros that don't know their roles.
Yeah,
still.
I mean,
to find a 15-year-old,
right? But that's easier to relate to. You get to the professional level, and you feel like you've accomplished whatever, and it's hard to find
your
role. But as a 15-year-old, 16,
everyone thinks they're the guy.
Yeah,
everybody
you're
thinks
way.
They're the guy.
Right. 100%.
Especially when you're coming from this team, and you were the man on that team, and you were the man on this team.
And you got everyone on your ear on your block telling you the dude.
Right, but you playing with four All-Americans on the same team. So I'm saying,
Right.
I remember one moment, bro. I'll never forget this thing, right? We were playing somewhere. I forget where we were playing. And it was the end of the game. We were smacking this team, and I'm in the game, and I get a steal, open court, and I just fillet. I just laid it up. Swish stood up. He said, "Man, if you don't dunk the basketball, what's wrong with you? You see all these scouts out here, you better dunk that basketball." And I was running back like, "All right, my bad." Yo, that was the best, bro. That was hilarious.
Yo, so let me ask you. So, you know, for some reason, and Swish, call bullshit on this if needed. I feel like you don't get, maybe credit isn't the word, but I feel like you don't get credit for like, you went pro straight out of high school.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel when we talk about guys that went pro, it's almost like people forget
he
you went pro
out,
out of high school. I don't know why that is. Like, you came in being a super freak of an athlete and you could shoot the ball. Like, I feel like you came in, you had a pro game, right?
Yeah.
So my question to you is, his game, in high school? Like, when did you know he was a problem and
come on,
he was going to get paid to do this?
It was one play. I'll give you one play. I mean, obviously, I watched him play for years now, and I knew what a talent level he was. But it was, and it, I think it was St. Benedict's against Eastside Prep, and he already knows what I'm talking about. He already knows what I'm talking about. And it was the opening tip, Pete. The opening tip. They had some design tip, alley-oop play or something. And there was a dude on Eastside named Relly, right? Yeah. Everybody loved Relly. He was,
Keith's cousin.
That was Keith's cousin, a guy that I played with that went to Rutgers and did his thing, graduated from there with flying colors.
He played at Rutgers?
He played at Rutgers, played ball at Rutgers, okay. Marquise Webb.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, okay.
And then, but Relly was his cousin, played on Eastside, and then it was the opening tip, and it got tipped to Swish's teammate. All of a sudden, I see, by the way, Swish is the tipper.
So he's jumping.
He's jumping on his team. So he tips it to his man, curls around. His man, like, took two fake dribbles
to
the left.
They don't go lob off the tip, though.
Lob off the tip. Relly thinks it's like a pass. Relly's like, oh, they're not going to lob off the tip. Let me try to deflect. He grabbed it off Relly's forehead and banged that joint so hard for the first 2 points. And mind you, it's packed. I was just like, it's a wrap. This is over.
You remember that play, Swish?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. Because, I mean, going to St. Benedict's and being an all-boys school, and regardless if it's in the heart of Newark or not, when you go into Patterson, you go and play at Camden's, and you playing in all these places, people got pride. And the way when we was growing up, that if you played in Patterson, the whole gym's going to be packed with people from Patterson.
Got you.
And they rolling with people from Patterson, exactly. Just like how it rocked.
Yep.
And they was, I mean, from the gate, from the time I walked in, everybody knew who I was because I played with the players, but at the same time, they was rooting for they Patterson people. And it just, one trick, like you said, it started off with the lob, and then after that, we just kept it rolling.
28 points later, it was a wrap.
Let me ask you, Swish, so like I said earlier, you went pro straight out of high school. This is your what season?
It's 14.
Does that bug you out that you're 14 year, right? Like, it's almost
crazy. I look in the locker room and I'm sitting there looking at dudes that when I first came in, they were in elementary school. Wow. Like, oh man, I remember watching you when I was in fifth grade or fourth grade. I'm looking here like, oh my God. Like, and this is real life, because when I came in, I was 17, 18 years old. And I'm playing against dudes who's 32 my age now.
Yeah, grown
33,
men, families,
grown men walking down, got 4 or 5 kids and like kids 16 years old, like damn near the same age as I am. And I'm like, damn, like how it flips so fast.
But you look around, I think Bron said this, was it this year? Definitely this year, maybe last year. He was the oldest all-star, right? The most tenured all-star. And he said, you wake up one day, you look around, you're like, holy shit, like how'd this happen?
It's just
being the kid, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, let me ask you, Swish, like, what does 14-year NBA vet champion say to 17-year-old fresh out of high school, J.R. Smith?
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
Like, with all your wisdom, ups, downs, wins, failures.
I remember 17-year-old J.R.
Right?
Oh,
right?
Man.
What do you, if you can impart any wisdom on the young kid, 17-year-old J.R. Smith, what are you telling him, seeing everything you've seen now?
More than anything, I would say, obviously, I mean, Hove is one of the greatest, so I would say watch out for the fakes and stay true to the game. Mm. That's it. Watch out for the fakes and stay true to the game.
Couldn't have said it better. So I want to get into the season a little bit.
Yes.
Early on, obviously, you know, with the acquisition of different guys and acclimated to new teammates and all that good stuff, how's this season, if you had to, you know, talk to us about how this season has been for you, what would you say? How would you categorize this season for you so far?
I mean, we always talk to reporters and stuff like that. And the first thing they say is roller coasters, ups and downs. But for us, it's hard because we always come into the training camp looking at June. That's the first thing we look at when we go from September 25th or whatever it is. Our mindset is we're gonna stay healthy enough to. Obviously, we want to win. We're going to compete. But some days we're going to need, Kyle, you need to take a day off. Regardless of however our injuries or stuff like that sets up, that's what it is. We're going to look at, okay, maybe, well, Brian, you need to take a game or two off here, even though he hasn't taken a game off, which is ridiculously impressive. But we look at we look at our whole body of work from September to June, in the last 4 years, well, three training camps that I've been in, and to see our roster dramatically change in the middle of the season like that and still be one of the top teams mm-hmm. in the league or even better than where we started off, mm-hmm. it's crazy. Because
has that ever happened? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever been a part of a team with just straight?
No. Nah.
Crazy, right?
Not on a team like this. I mean, yeah. you trading all stars for, I don't want to say role players, but for lack of better words, that's what it yeah. is. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's people that fit the system better, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's for our GM or call it Bron/GM coach or whatever, whatever they want to call it, or however
LeBron
it fixes
Russell,
out.
Is what you're saying?
Well, however they fix it out or work it out, it works. It works.
Let me ask you this: when I was preparing for this show, because I, unlike other people on the show, prepare. I prepare. I take my craft seriously.
His preparation was going on your IG. Yeah. That's it. That's all he's looking at.
I was looking at, you know, how the season's gone for you. Forget wins, losses, all that stuff. You guys have had 8 players at one point or another out have missed action for some reason or another.
Right.
Okay? And the head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm older than both you guys by a couple of months, neither here nor there.
You still in the threes?
Yeah, I'm in the threes. Right. I'm in the threes forever.
Oh, okay,
forever.
True.
you know, I've never, in all my years of just being around the game, in the game, just as a fan, I've never, ever seen a season like this where so many players have missed action and the head coach. Like, yeah. In your experience, like, do you notice
never
that? Like, you've lived through it this season. Like,
I've never seen it. Not off the top of my head, and to have the players that we have, I've never seen it.
It's really been, you know, honestly a true testament to, you know, the core guys you guys have there that you've been able to, like, withstand, you know, the whole storm. And obviously, I always say, half jokingly, it's like there's a lot of great that comes with LeBron. And there's also a spotlight that comes with playing with LeBron of, like,
right.
Everything you guys do is news.
Right. And that could be good or bad, depending yeah. on how you play it.
Yeah.
You know, if you hitting shots and, I mean, grabbing rebounds or locking up, and it'll be great. But on the other side, if somebody's cooking you or you're not mm-hmm. making shots, it's mm-hmm. terrible. It's the mm-hmm. worst. Because they, like you said, that spotlight is on you, and everybody feels, though, because you're on LeBron's team, you got to be not LeBron, but the next thing under LeBron. Like, if you're playing with LeBron, they're expecting you to be Kobe, D. Wade, or Chris Bosh, or right. somebody like that. Like, right. And it's just, it don't happen like that.
Right. A friend of mine, you know, very close friends of mine know I don't like to fly. I fly a lot because it is the nature of what we do. I don't like to fly. And a friend of mine said, I was telling him about a tough flight we had after All-Star, and we wound up playing with LeBron,
that.
Right? Yeah, so yeah. It was me, Bron, Rich, Randy. And I'm telling him the story about the plane. And my friend says, hey, P, no one wants to die in a plane crash, but you definitely don't want to die in a plane crash with LeBron. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck's the difference? He goes, well, the difference is it'll be LeBron and others perish.
For sure.
Your name won't even be mentioned.
Facts.
He's like, you don't want that to happen.
You'd be really small on the bottom of the newspaper. It's like, Paul Rivera.
You know what I'll say? You know, I feel like, and I love your point of view on this, I feel like you don't get enough credit for being the amazing team player you are, and I'll tell you why I say that. There's been ups and downs of the season. This player gets acquired. Maybe your role changes, maybe it doesn't. You say all the right things and say, hey, whatever the team needs for me to do. You know, I'm a human. This isn't necessarily how I would want it, but whatever you need me to do, I'm here for service. Trades happen again. You know, your role changes. You may not get the looks you get, shot attempts, all this stuff. No one, people that know basketball, like know basketball.
Right.
No.
It's a big difference.
100%. Not just fans
difference.
Of basketball that
right.
watch basketball.
Huge. It's a huge difference.
People that know basketball don't just look at the numbers, look at the things that affect the numbers.
Right.
Right? Look at looks, how many plays you actually get called for yourself, how many actual shots you're taking, how your time, all of those things. I think for me, it speaks to your maturity, right? We talked about you being in the league 14 years where you don't got to tell me, I won't even ask you. I know just as a human, as a competitor, there's things you haven't necessarily loved, but you've taken them all in stride and said whatever's best for the team. Can you talk a little bit about that, about being a pro in your 14th year and putting the team first, even whether you agree or don't at times, putting the team's goals first and kind of going with the flow and saying, hey, listen, whatever you need from me, I'm here. What's that process been like for you?
It's tough because for me, I'm a natural born scorer. That's what I've done. That's what I've been known as my whole career. Take any shot, it can make any shot, whatever, whatever, no fear, nothing. And I've lived like that. So it's tough. It's tough at times. Let me rephrase that. It was tough at times until I won a championship.
Got it.
I mean,
there's two people here that won championship. Did you?
Well,
in all of your professional.
Well, again, I don't want to make this about me.
Did you get to the championship game? Did you get to the show? Did you get there at least?
There's trophies, there's ribbons, there's certificates, whatever you want to see.
Trophies and ribbons. You only get ribbons at the spelling bee.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever. Yo, this is about Gerard. This isn't about me, man.
I just have to check. Go ahead, continue. I'm sorry.
No, he said, once you won a championship.
Yeah, once I won a championship, it was my mindset was totally different. Like, granted, when I first got traded to Cleveland, I still had that New York Knicks mindset of whether I come off the bench or whether I start, I'm going to get mine. Mm-hmm. And I just need everybody else to do what they got to do to get theirs. Mm-hmm. And it might not have been it's not why I was brought there, I would say that.
Got you.
You know, and for me to know how to actually play the game and know how to, you know, I grew up playing the point guard position. Granted, I could score, but I always seen the extra pass and just sometimes I never made the extra pass because I wasn't sure if he was going to make it or not. And it's almost a better shot with me with two people and him open, you know.
Absolutely.
And that's always the way I play. Like my coaches, even from my rookie year up until this point, they always told me, you know, shoot the ball. I don't care if somebody's in front of you. If they're not touching you, they're not close enough. Mm. And for me, it was tough because obviously not getting plays ran for you, but at the same time, LeBron demands so much attention that you're gonna get open. Mm-hmm. And being the player that he is, he's going to pass you the ball. So when you're ready, or when he's ready to give it to you, you better be ready to shoot it, and you better be ready to make it. So I never looked at it from a standpoint of, man, I don't get no plays. Up until this year. Like, this year when, you know, in struggles and not making shots and stuff like that, I was shooting, like, below 30% from three, which has never happened for me. And it was like, you know, man, why are you struggling so bad? Why are you not playing? Why are you playing so bad? How about you help me out and run me a little play so I can get a layup, maybe just to see the ball go in? Yeah. That changes the whole game.
100%.
You know, and it was a struggle with me for that for a while until, of course, I mean, my wife has been there for over 10 years now, and she just told me, like, babe, you know what? Maybe it's not your time right now. Your time is always gonna. Your time is gonna come, but right now it's not your time. And I've just been waiting and being patient, working on my craft, and staying ready as much as I could. And fortunately, it's been my time as of late.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I always say shooters, and you're at the pinnacle of that. I always say shooters are very similar to like defensive backs, right? DBs, you get burned deep for a touchdown. You got to act like that shit never happened.
Short term,
and here we are again, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You could miss five shots and it's like, oh, we're coming to you.
Oh, for sure.
And you got to shoot this six like you're six, like you're 5 for 5 at this point.
Right.
Right. So, you know, for you, I honestly believe, look, there's great shooters in the NBA. Steph may be the greatest shooter we've ever seen. And all these, there's been great shooters.
No, I know maybe. He's definitely.
Yeah. So talk about maybe. That. You think Steph is the greatest shooter
ever? The greatest shooter we've ever seen, hands down.
Why do you feel that strongly about it? I agree with you. I just want your point.
Because the shots that he makes is by far some of the toughest shots I've ever seen taken.
Wow.
Let alone crossing, made.
Yeah, let alone made.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Crossing over behind the back, just letting it go, turning around, just running the other way, and it's... Then ain't nothing else to be said. When I let this thing go, don't go for the rebound. We need to get back. And that's extreme. I mean, not only is it extreme confidence, but that's a talent, man. That's a talent to have. His dad is obviously arguably one of the top 15, 20, depending on what are you going by as shooters. But to, for him to make all of those shots off the dribble, pulling from half court, that the shot he made against Oklahoma City 2 years ago.
Coming
like,
across half, it's ridiculous. Crazy. I think the thing that separates him is he got the ball on a string too, right? His father didn't really have that. He got it on a string and the quickest release in the game.
For
and
with sure.
Those two, you can't even argue. At any height, at any level, at any any basketball game, that's going to win every time.
I'm going to take it a step further. A lot of similarities between his game and my game.
I'm just going to transition here, Swish. I don't know. I'm just going to move on from this. Switching gears a little bit, not too crazy, but you know, LeBron and Ben Simmons get compared to each other a lot. Right. And as of late, and he just played.
Epic game.
And not for nothing, I see the similarities. I see it because the vision, triple-double machine, all of that fun stuff. I guess what I want to ask you is do you see the same similarities that everybody else sees? And how far do you think Ben Simmons can go in this league?
I think he can go as far as he wants to go. Mm-hmm. Like this is the only difference between, and I can't honestly say difference because I'm not with him on a day-to-day basis, but the only difference that I could possibly see is LeBron's work ethic compared to his work ethic. I'm not in to question it, but I haven't seen it. So I don't know.
But you can speak for LeBron.
But I can speak for LeBron's work ethic. Regardless of if he went 2 for 10 or he went 18 for 18, he's gonna be in the gym the next morning. He's gonna be the first person there. He's gonna be one of the last people to leave. He's working around the clock on his body, on his the way he eats, everything. We've seen it. Y'all seen it.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So the only thing I could say about Ben at this state is if his work ethic is anything like LeBron's, the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So speaking of Bron, as we all love to call it affectionately, the GOAT conversation has been coming up
a lot,
very often. As
we got a clip, we got a clip for Swiss, right?
Yeah. So we'll the reason why I'm excited about this clip is because it's from another shooter, and shooters, as JR and I are, respect each other. And
we're not gonna do this the whole show. I'm
just saying, calling a spade a spade.
Continue.
So recently, Ray Allen, who was one of LeBron's teammates in Miami, was asked, you know, who he thought the GOAT was in the discussion with LeBron and MJ. And I'm just going to, I want you to hear his comment if you haven't. And then I want you to comment on A, his comment, and B, your thoughts on it, if you don't mind.
All right.
You played against MJ and Kobe and with LeBron. So where do you right. stand on the GOAT conversation?
I've seen all of them, and by far, is Michael Jordan. I think he's in a conversation amidst himself. MJ is just on a different level because MJ, we're not talking about numbers. We're talking about his ability, you know, like he played with dominance. He played with force, but he also played with finesse.
Mm. By far.
Your initial thoughts on that, Swish?
By far, absolutely not, obviously. I mean... Don't get me wrong. I mean, growing up, obviously, I got the jersey tatted on my stomach. Like, MJ was the greatest of all time, in my opinion, up until 2 years ago. And I was with Ray Allen by far. But the last couple of years at 33 years old, averaging a triple-double a whole month, walking into the playoffs, I mean... Just hit 31,000 points the other day. hit 30,000 points earlier this year. 8,000 rebounds, 8,000 assists. It's
insane, bro. Like,
I mean, how far do we have? Like, what more do we have to keep going as far as whether it's numbers
right.
or just ability? Like, at what point do we just say when?
I have this argument all the time. Not with P because we're on the same page, but with other people. And the only argument that I get in return is the era that Jordan played in. And I was like, well, LeBron can't help what year he was born.
What about the era?
That the era of the way they called fouls back then, and that it was tougher for Mike to score.
So I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of bums in that era.
100%.
Let's be clear.
100%.
There were a lot of bums because a friend of mine sent me a clip of MJ scoring 60 something on the Cavs. Craig Elo was guarding him. You have any idea what our guest today would do to Craig Elo?
Let me ask you this: Who was Craig Elo's backup?
I don't even know.
He caught some of that too. It wasn't just Craig.
Yeah, like,
so that's what I'm saying. We can't even name his backup.
But that's my point. Even guys that were like great defenders back then, no disrespect to them. And normally when you say no disrespect, you're going to be really disrespectful.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Bill Laimbeer couldn't make an NBA team today. John Sally could not make an NBA team today. Maybe they do. Maybe the 10, 11 guys, because on a skill level, they're not there. These guys were starting guys, all star. You know, like, so when you look at it that way, and I'm not saying there wasn't great players back then.
There were some guys.
I'm just saying we're getting to the point in time.
GP, Dominique.
Where MJ's played so long ago that now it's I caught a fish this big.
Mm-hmm.
MJ never lost a game. MJ won every game. He averaged 50. He also averaged 27 shots a game one
season.
Just
like if I don't see footage of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, I don't believe it. You're not going to hold up a piece of paper next to your ear, bro.
I think it was like Bron made a very true statement about that situation. Like, it could have been somebody's 100th birthday, and he's like, yo, hold this up for my grandmother.
For real.
Or whatever.
For
like, real. But we've never seen this.
Never seen it.
He averaged 50 rebounds.
And now.
And no footage.
But now, everyone from that era is gone. Everybody's dead.
Nobody can believe
it. Nobody's alive still from that?
That's what.
My challenge on all this Bron MJ thing is, listen, these guys, our guest being one of them, they're a different type of savage, man.
100%.
Like, these guys, athletic ability, all that. And look, I'm not saying those guys weren't tough guys and all that stuff. Check. Rules, hand-checking, all that. I get it. There weren't 7 foot two guards back then either.
No, of course.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
and even back then, you would look at it like, wait, Chicago lost to the Sixers? Who? What? Like, you'd be like, completely astonished.
Yes.
Now you'd be like, oh, Ben must have kicked up.
Yes.
Joel Embiid must have this. You know what I mean? Like, you got guys that can have that competition now.
MJ's peers at the time that he was being compared to were Clyde Drexler. He didn't have to go through the Golden State Warriors winning 73 games. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm just saying, if we're going to keep it a buck, let's keep it a buck. Guys today are bigger, faster, you know,
and
more
LeBron
athletic.
LeBron played against more Hall of Famers.
Like, you know,
crazy.
And then the automatic one that always makes you laugh is they go to six for six.
Mm-hmm.
A, that's a team goal. Let's keep that a buck. Mm-hmm. Let's not act like MJ ain't play with two Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah,
and a Hall of Fame coach.
Right.
So that's a team goal. But my point also is when MJ played, I want to say 16 seasons. So 10 years, he didn't even make the finals.
Yeah.
So if we're going to tell the story, let's tell the whole story. And look, I'm not here shitting on Mike. I had his posters up on my wall too.
1,000%. I got his sneakers on right now.
And I agree with you 100%, Swish, that up to 2 years ago, I would tell LeBron MJ's the GOAT. And you know what the greatest is?
Sure.
LeBron would tell you that.
100%.
No, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest.
The last thing, if you really want to keep it 1,000, is how when these guys, these upper echelon guys in the league, become free agents and have their choice of where to go, ain't nobody coming to the East, bro.
No.
Facts.
People are out of here. They'd rather load up the West and try their shot than come to the East and run into that buzzsaw.
Facts.
Like,
every time.
The fact that he's shaping the NBA like this, dog. Like, that's a whole different
But even that, like, people, like, the last, since he's been in the league, everybody's always, oh, the East is weak. The East is that. East is this. Up until a week, 2 weeks ago, people wasn't saying that.
Yep.
People were like, oh, Victor Oladipo got Indiana playing unbelievable.
Exactly. Right.
Philly's coming.
Right.
Boston is just loaded up
Milwaukee
with Kyrie.
Was all
Milwaukee is this.
Point.
Miami is there. Like, they got all this talk, but now all of a sudden, oh, well, they won 11 out of the last 12. And
great point.
It's the East, though. The East is weak. The East is that. Like, at what point do, Like, at what point do you just give credit when credit is due? Like, that's great all
point.
I'm saying.
Great point.
100%.
Speaking of the East, I know from, you know, being able to call you a friend, like a real friend and family and spending some time with you, I know how much you value relationships and loyalty and how you feel your teammates really are your family. Kyrie recently, you know, they announced that he was out for the year. Have you spoken to him? Have you gotten a chance? I know you're busy and he's busy and all that, but I know you had a relationship with him and you still do.
Right.
And showed him love when you guys played each other. Have you had the chance to speak to him at all since he's been out?
I haven't. Kyrie is different. I'm gonna say that. Kyrie is extremely different. And not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. It's just the way he is, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you are consistent about it. But one thing about him, he's going to be consistent on who he is. When I was coming up, you know, I'd play against Kobe and, you know, throw a little jab at him or something like, yo, what's going on? Can I work out with you or whatever, whatever? He would give me no response, like none. So I would see that in Kai, like young guys would come up to him and we'd just give him a stale face. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, that's just who he is and that mindset that he's in. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, obviously, everybody goes about their work and business a different way. And that's just what it is. So I don't take it personal, but I've reached out to him. Obviously, I ain't getting no response, but... That's like my kid brother. I love the kid. He's from Jersey. Is having a hell of a career, all-star caliber player, but that's just who he is as a person.
Yeah, so I want to switch things up a little bit. I want to talk playoffs because this is – we're here.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the best time in the NBA
for
me.
Two games
I like where you're going with this.
This is the best part for me. So
for a little bit of context, okay. We're recording this in studio on Sunday, so we don't know the playoff matchups yet.
We don't know. Right? But I have a question. I see what this says.
Okay, go ahead.
But Talk about it. So I want to ask, okay, there's four potential first-round opponents for y'all. The Pacers, the Bucks, the Heat, and the Wizards. And this paper, shout out to Tune Day back at the office, it says, you know, it's asking me to ask you which one would you rather play against? But that's my question is, which team do you think you guys match up with the best and that you would rather see in the first round? The Pacers, the Bucks, the Heat, or the Wizards?
By the way, this is going to show up on someone's chalkboard.
I'm just asking
Pacers,
questions.
Bucks,
the Heat, or the Wizards.
Pacers, Bucks, Heat, Wizards. Victor Oladipo, Greek Freak in the Bucks, D-Wade in the Heat, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and the Wizards.
See, now this is where I get personal. This is where I get personal because I feel like...
As he says this, Farrah from Clutch Sports has stood up.
Just stood up.
Like, okay, hold up.
See, this is where I get personal. See, last year, like, so... And everybody knows, like, John is like my little brother. I love John. Since he came in, he's a tremendous talent and everything else that comes with it. Everybody knows John. His capability and his body of work. But... They were jawing so much last year that we ducked them or something because they ended up losing a game 7 in Boston or whatever the case. So I would say I want to play Washington first because I want to get this out the way. We're gonna get this done, and we'll talk about it when we get to y'all in the summertime because we still got work to do after y'all. So. That y'all, we ducked y'all, so therefore, let's get it out the way. We're going to tackle this beast now.
I just got goosebumps.
Hey, you know I like that disrespectful talk. I'm
with it.
So listen, I don't even think there's not another playoff question to ask.
We can move right along.
We're going to pivot something that I know, you know, you and I, you texted me immediately on this when this happened, right? Mm-hmm. Supreme.
That was so fire. That was such a great
that was
look.
Killer.
That was such a great look.
That was killer.
Hey, so he sends me the text. He's like, yo, you seen this? And I'm like, wow, no. And then I don't know if you remember what you said back to me. You said, only Swish could pull this off.
1,000%. That campaign shouldn't have gotten to anyone else other than Swish. Like, it spoke to everything. Not only what we grew up wearing and how we wore it and all of that, but just the person that he is to embody what Supreme is and what they tried to put across. They couldn't have no better person than Swish. It was the perfect combination. How'd that happen? How'd that come about? Did they reach out? You reach out to them? You have a relationship with them? How'd that work?
It was funny because when I first heard that they were doing something with the NBA, They came out with the sleeves, and nobody at this point in time, this was like,
oh, because that was a huge deal. Yeah, yeah,
so yeah. This was like 2 months. I had the sleeve tucked, like I had
ready.
Yeah, I had the sleeve tucked. I was gonna wear it at the Garden.
Okay,
but I was like, you know what? The league is here, and they might just try and make me take it off at
like,
halftime.
At the game. That's tough.
Don't get me wrong. It's LeBron at the Garden, but it's not like a game where I gotta give it to him. You know what I'm saying? It's like you playing against New England. Like I gotta give it to him.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So we were at home at the time, and I seen the young boy Oubre wear it. Mm-hmm. I was like, damn, he stole my shine from it. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, it was cool though, because I looked at it like, you know, that's dope, because it's just a wave that's coming. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when back in the day, I mean, obviously MJ and Scotty and GP and all those dudes, they was coming to the game suited and booted. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Fresh to death. But in our era, the way we grew up, like you just said, we gravitated to the streets. We street apparel. We
hip-hop.
Like
hip hop.
You know what I mean? That's our outlet. That's how we got who we are with our swag and whatever. Like Braylon, if I was sitting here dressing like Iguodala or somebody like that, not to say his swag is trash, but that suits him.
Whatever
his style is, but that don't fit me. So if I'm out here doing what somebody else is doing and not fitting myself, I don't fit in the culture. I fit in by being me.
And you can see that just by looking at it. First minute you look at somebody, you know if that look is them or if they trying. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And that's the one thing I didn't want to do. I never wanted to be a person that was trying. So when a Supreme offer came to me, it was just like, I got to do that because that's me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not like if I catch somebody else in the Supreme, like I'm looking like,
that ain't you.
That's
bro.
Not you, bro.
You
like,
too much.
You know what I'm saying? That's not you, exactly. bro. Yeah. Exactly. You would have been in school suspension wearing that shirt. I'd have been over here. You know what I mean?
So let me ask you, it's also an exciting time of the year where most of our listeners are probably thinking like, oh, it's exciting because playoffs are around the corner and whatnot. For you, it's exciting for a number of reasons. One is it's playoffs coming up. But to the Masters, as we record this, right? I know you're,
Masters,
for people that may not know, you're a huge.
I just want you to know they just teed off, too.
Cut it, right? Talk to us, golf. Like, you're considered one of the top NBA golfers, right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
How often, when did the love for golf start? How often do you play? Talk to us a little bit about that.
The crazy part about it, rest in peace, Moses Malone, man. Like, this is. I was played in Rashard Lewis's. Well, actually, I was just supposed to be there. I wasn't actually gonna play, so I don't want to get myself in trouble. I'm sorry, my wife is over there, but no disrespect, babe. I don't know if she can hear me or not. But I was like a, you know, one of those guests that rolled around on the golf course and stuff like that. So I was drinking, messing around with the little cart girls and stuff like that, and I ended up pulling up on Moses Malone's group. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking trash. I never really played golf and stuff before. So he's out there hitting and guys is hitting.
And how old are you at this point? How old are you?
I'm like 19, maybe 20. I'm like, man, y'all trash. Y'all this, da, 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 da. No, actually, I was older than that. I'm like 21, 22.
Okay.
So.
Couple years in the league, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody,
yep. So I'm like, man, y'all trash. Y'all hitting in the woods, da, da, da. He's like, young fella, come hit this ball. You all that talk, come hit this ball. So I get up there. And hit the ball 300 yards down the fairway. I'm like, man, golf is easy. Look
first
at this.
First time out the gate.
He showed me how to hold the club and all that. And I just, like, I'm a person that if I can see you do it, I can do it for sure. Mm-hmm. So I watched a couple guys swing, and then I get up there 300 down the fairway. I hop back in the cart with the cart girls. I'm driving off laughing and da da da. And then I pull up on a group again because obviously golf is like 4.5 hours.
Long time.
You know what I'm saying?
Long time.
So I pull up on this group again. He's like, man, young fella, do it again. They can't believe you hit it again. I get up there. I couldn't even hit the ball. I swear. And after that, I bought like 3 sets of golf clubs in like 4 days, dog. Like, I was on it and still am. I mean, fortunately, it's just something I love. I got to, like, how my passion was for basketball when I first touched the ball, that's how it is for golf at this point.
Wow, that's a huge statement.
Yeah.
Give me the top 4 NBA golf players.
Currently playing?
Yeah.
I would say Steph.
Okay.
Is
there anything that guy's not good at? Jesus
crazy.
Christ.
Yeah. I heard he was a good golfer,
ridiculous.
Too. Yeah.
He's ridiculous.
Really good?
I heard he was nice.
Yeah,
okay.
He's playing one of the, what is it?
Them little tournaments?
Yeah, he played in the, it's like the D League of golf. I forgot. I forgot the damn name. It's crazy. But he played one. He played one of the tournaments, and he actually did really well, which was not so. I mean, I'm not gonna say surprising, but it is surprising because these other guys that do this, that play golf, they play. They're playing to get on the tour, mm-hmm. and they playing this for. They playing all day long and practicing yeah, 4 or 5 hours a day. But this, he coming off of 300 three-pointers in the NBA season, playing 82 games, and coming out here and still like playing well, which was, like I said, is crazy. But if I had to go 1 through 4, probably him, Kyle Korver, myself, and probably CP. CP's got a lot better.
Yo, I actually have a CP story. So we're in Vegas. 2 summers ago, like Bron, the whole fam's in town, and I think it's like during summer league, so there's a lot of ball players out there. And Farrah, actually, who's here, who's amazing, puts together a trip. We're going to Topgolf.
Right.
Yeah.
That place is amazing.
Right, which is basically, for you people that don't know, it's basically like bowling, golf, and a nightclub all mixed in. Right?
Especially in Vegas.
Right, yeah.
They
Vegas
got the pool
right.
there.
Yeah, no, it's next level, right? So, you know, I'm lefty swinging with a right club. I don't play golf. I've never tried it, whatever. So I go up there and I'm like hacking away and CP's next after me. So I said, you know, I don't know any, but I'm like, CP, you play often? He goes, I have a simulator in my crib, dog.
Yeah.
I said,
oh, no, it's serious.
I said, cool, so you play often or you don't? You ain't got a style on me, fam. Just you could have just said yes.
Yes. Right. Exactly.
So you go with yes.
Oh, he good for that, though. He's good for that.
That's crazy. And even you won. I remember a couple years ago at the ESPYs has a golf tournament, and you won that joint, right? A couple years ago.
Yeah, my group won it. We
It was
crazy because at first, you know, I was in LA and we were playing, and I was like, man, I don't even know if I want to go out there because I played so bad the day before. I'm like, man, I don't want to go out there and embarrass myself. It was like, nah, just do it fair, of course. It's like, nah, you got to do it. I was like, all right, cool. So we go out there, and it's like Dominique and his group and like different celebrities, Jerome Bettis is out there, all these guys who actually play and who are like really good. And for us to go out there and win that, it was a special moment for me because it was like my first golf trophy. You know what I mean? You remember you first got that first Biddy League trophy and you go up there, you're happy, mom, Vaseline's you down and all that. You know what I'm saying? 100%. But you get your first golf trophy. That was dope, though.
That's what's up.
So listen, we're gonna get you out of here. But before we get you out of here, I know the masses have started and whatnot, and Farrah's starting to pace and look at me in the other room over there. what are you going to be listening to in your headphones, you know, when it's time, as I like to call it, time to get to the money? Playoff time.
Right.
What are you listening to, either in your headphones and the whip on the way to the arena and the locker room? What's getting you in the right frame of mind?
The last couple of years, I listened to Bryson Tiller because I'm a real...
Oh, okay.
When I shoot, like my pregame warm-ups, when I shoot, it's like it's got to be a dope melody. It's got to be a good vibe shooting. And for whatever reason, like I know how good and how bad I'm shooting or where I'm... If I'm... By listening to his album. If I listen to his album and I'm done with my routine by track 3, I already know.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And I know I'm shooting bad. I get all the way to Rambo. You know what I'm saying? So I know. You know what I mean? Like I got it synced in my head. But at this point right now, I've been listening to Pablo, Kanye. I've been in a sick Kanye mood.
Yo, low key, that Pablo album is so fire.
It's underrated.
It's
so fire.
Aging well.
Oh no, it's aging very well, dog. Yeah. That album
crazy.
Is fire.
Like we all know we talk about music a lot, and that he's so under. That album is very underrated.
Give me your top 5 artists right now, not of all time, right now.
Right now, Drake is obviously leading the pack.
That's not even. What's it called? Nice for what?
Nice for what?
Oh my goodness.
He's obviously leading the pack.
100%.
I got a toss up right now between, because I love Dave East's album and I love Nipsey's album.
Nipsey's album is great.
So it's like.
Yeah.
I gotta.
Davey's album reminds me of like what we used to listen to when we was growing up.
Right. That's why I get
rap.
That's why
that kind of rap.
From being from the East, that's why I give him that nudge. 100%.
It's funny you say this. Someone said this the other day and it blew my mind. They said, Dave East and Nipsey are like twin brothers that got separated at birth. One's in the West, one's in the East.
For that's sure. Right? That is the most absolute fact I've ever heard. Wow.
Insane.
100%.
Insane. Anyone else you're listening to right now that you're excited about or gets you?
I mean, I've been a 21 fan. I'm a Kodak fan. So I give my little my trap music on, of course.
Yo, that's crazy. Yeah, you ask people top five, that Kendrick ain't even nowhere in his.
Here's the difference with Kendrick. Kendrick's great.
He's amazing,
right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to listen cover to cover. I don't know if I'm playing Kendrick in the whip.
Gotcha. I'm with you
all day.
No, I'm definitely. I went through that episode.
That moment of Kendrick, because you got to be in a mood. You got to be in a moment for Kendrick. You can't just be like, I start my day, brush my teeth, put Kendrick on.
Yeah,
you have a headache by noon.
I got to be going through something, and something happened to me to where I was like, you know what? The hell with it. Like, damn. Exactly. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just like the album say, damn. And it's just, I just got to be going through it. And but obviously, that's nothing taken away from Kendrick, because Kendrick is amazing. Great, and I didn't say J. Cole either. And J. Cole is obviously.
Right. And I don't know if you guys know this, but he went double platinum with no features.
No
features.
You know how hard that is to do, bro?
In this day and age,
that's crazy. Oh, you got somebody like Quavo who making hooks like that, and you just like, nah, I'm good. I got my own shit. You know what I'm saying?
I don't need Bryson Tiller for this hook. I don't need SZA. I don't need nobody.
Nobody.
I'm good.
Last question, and then we'll get you out of here. Mm-hmm. J.R. Smith, NBA champion, 14 seasons. You know, all the accolades, Sixth Man of the Year, you know, however many threes you've hit up to this point. When it's all said and done, which hopefully won't be for another 4 or 5 years, whatever you decide.
My boy trying to play 20. Right? We had this conversation a long time
ago. Six more. There you go. Six more, 20. Whatever he wants it to be. How do you want to be remembered when someone says J.R. Smith?
Like, cause when I was coming up, I never feel like the older guys like really embraced me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Brian and I talk about this a lot too. Like, when you think about his comparisons or our comparisons or to people who are ahead of us, it was for them. It was always like an ego thing with, I'm not going to show the young man no love. Nobody showed me no love, so I gotta give him tough love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And it, for me, it's like whenever the young guys come up and ask me, or they ain't even got to ask me, I just go tell them. It's just like, bro, like it's a certain way you go about your business, your profession, or whatever you want to call it. I talk to Jordan Clarkson a lot because I see a lot of similarities within him and myself. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell him what to do, but just give him a little insight. You know what I'm saying? Just something that I would hope somebody would have told me but didn't. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I never want to be the guy who just try to overshine somebody or something like that. So at the end of the day, I just want to be a real one. I just want to give the youth some of my knowledge, if not all of it, if they want it. But if they don't, then, you know, man, that's fine with me. But I'll never want to feel like somebody, like I cheated somebody, like especially one of my teammates, because I look at all my teammates as brothers. Like, I can go back and name pretty much, I can name every teammate I've played with and on each team. You know what I'm saying? So I hate that. When I hit you in the summertime, I expect you to hit me back. You know what I'm saying?
Bigger than basketball.
It's bigger than basketball. Yeah, like, I know your wife. I know your kids. I know how you move. I know how you don't move. I know everything about you, bro. Like, I know more about you than probably your family do.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I look at and I take those to heart because I'm a very loyal person. So, like, I never try to sugarcoat that with nobody. I always let them know what it is. Like, bro, if I'm going to rock with you, I'm going to rock with you. If I'm not going to rock with you, I'm not going to rock with you. There's no in-between with me. You know what I mean?
I can't think of a better way to end it.
And one thing I can say just about Swish, he's always been this way. He's always been himself unapologetically. He's going to be himself to the day he dies. And that's the way I met him, and that's the only way I know him to be, is himself. So him saying to be remembered as a real one, that strikes with me, because that's the same thing I said in my brain. Like, Swish is the realest dude that I know, to be honest.
I'll say this, man. I can't think of a better way. Three real ones in the studio. Three champions in the studio?
See, I was with you with the real ones. When we go to Champion, I got to see this footage, bro.
He don't got no footage, Swish. It's been years now. How long have we been doing this podcast? A little over a year?
There's footage. There's footage. It just hasn't been the right time.
It's buried in Puerto Rico somewhere.
You guys have VCRs?
You know what, man?
Hey, we can convert it quick.
We can get that formatted. Let's close the show. Swish, I appreciate you coming through, my brother. We love you here on the show.
I already appreciate you, man.
Good luck in the playoffs.
And good luck with the golf swing and all of that fun stuff. So we appreciate you, man. Feel free, obviously, to continue to subscribe on our show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, all of that, powered by Uninterrupted. And we'll catch y'all on the next one.
Sure.
Peace.